brought an accusation to make against Klal Yisrael, Kulam and Oafim, Kufayin Beis, a Kumaitanur Bo'era Me'oifer, like an oven that's burning from a baker. Okay, now we come to the pasuk number next. Ki Kervu Kitanur Libam Be'arvam Kol Halayla. And now there's another pasuk. Ki Kervu, they come near like an oven, their hearts. The Arbam, as they secretly try to break into the homes of people that they should not be in. And then over here, there's another pasuk. I think over here, for some reason, he didn't break up the pasuk. But the next pasuk says, no, I'm sorry, it's one pasuk. Kol halayla yoshein oifehem, boiker who the entire night, the yoshein oifehem, they sleep those who bake. Boiker who boyer keish lehavon, the morning it burns like a burning fire, and the third one is kulam yechamu katanur, they're all hot like a tanur. Now I don't know all the intricate details of what he's trying to say, but what he's saying over here is this: what is the derech of the sefer chassidim? Many times he analyzes the entire Tanakh in his head. He always puts things in the categories, and he always sees every detail in front of him at every time. And he says that if you study the entire Tanakh, you will discover that there are three times in Tanakh where the pasuk compares the Yetzar for an Isha to a fire. But notice, it's not the same type of fire. The first pasuk, it says the fire is a Tanur Bo'era Me'ofeh, an oven that burns. I should have looked it up. Me'ofeh means from a baker. I think it means from a baker, Me'ofeh. What?
Yeah, a baker's oven.
A baker's oven. The next pasuk it says ki kervu, the people kervu, they come near to nashim katanur, like an oven, libam katanur libam, their hearts are burning like a tanur, be'arvam kol halayla, they lie in wait the entire night, yoshein oifehem boiker, they sleep, the bakers sleep. Boiker who boyer keish lehava, in the morning it burns with a great intensity. I don't know. I really don't know the difference, but it appears that this pasuk refers to a different type of oven, or refers to a much more intense form. There's something, a different dimension. I don't know what it means. And the third one, we're not necessarily discussing the oven of a baker. It says here kulam yechamu katanur. That's a different type of oven. Just as a tanur, there's a tanur oifeh, and then there is the fire that burns ke'esh lehava. Okay, so I don't know the details. Let's go further. Three different dimensions here. Maybe we go look on the side of the parish. The parish on the side. Is there a parish on the side? There is no parish on the side to tell us what this means. Okay, next. Page Kuf Samach Zayin. Next. Kuf Samach Zayin. On the very, very top. Gimel Tanurim Beparsha. There are three Tanurim Beparsha. Gimel Yitzarim al Ho'isha. Maybe this will come to explain that what it means. There are three different Yitzarim al Ho'isha, V'lirois, V'lirois, Yetzer, Hirer Shel Taiva. There are three different types of desires for a woman. Number one is Lirois, V'lirois, to see and to be seen, Yetzer, HaHirer Shel Taiva. I'm not sure. Let's read a few words. Right. Next.
This mean in person?
Could be. Lirois v'lerois. Yetzer hirhur shel taiva. Then there is a thought. V'chimud shel chimum. And then there is the body actually. There's a biological change in the body where the action actually, where his taiva results in a change, a physical change in his body temperature, or other types of physical changes. The yetzer lev boyer v'lo yichbe, the heart, the yetzer burns, not extinguished. Shehalev choishev kol shah achar isha mishtageya achareha, achi, as a person he tries to think of ideas how to trap this woman. V'zehu kosha mikulam, that's the worst. Okay, so it seems over here that he's trying this over here. There are three different levels. It starts out in the mind. It starts out, I just want to see this person. Then, after he sees the person, he has a taiva for her. It's much more emotional. And then level three, it's not just a matter of emotion. there's already physical change in his body in reaction to what he sees. Curiosity, then there is addiction, and then there is a physical change. Is that the correct terms? Okay, the curiosity, what is going on over here? Who is this woman? He becomes the taiva. It's out of control. He has to see it, but his body temperature has not changed, and then he's out of control. He's totally out of control, this fellow. Further, there are people, this is not no gay. Us people, they go and they want to trap a woman through kishafim, witchcraft. You ask a question, but we have a principle that the yetzer only is chal upon something which you can see. How can it be a person over here? Can he use witchcraft, referring to something, whatever this means? I don't know what these things mean over here. Mean, but it means over here some very intense taiva. This, that a person's desire for a woman without seeing her, it's in his mind. It's like a person who is hamishtageya, which simply means he's not insane. He's giving an example of a woman who's pregnant. A woman who's pregnant has a very strong intensity to eat because of the child. Anything he can, any attention he can get from her will make him happy. Even if he gets he speaks to a member of the household of where this woman is located, Yismach, he gets him joy. The adavai, the kishuf, the yesh, the kishuf, I don't know what that means. Anything kish, not kish, I don't know what that means. But okay, listen, Rabbi said this dvarm shutim. Over here, he's just coming to tell us over here that there are some things in this world that are very dangerous. The taiva for nashim is something which can become an addiction. Next, kufayin gimel, klal gadol v'takana l'gimel yitzarim. Now they're going to be a takana. Liyos be'ir acheres rochak misham she'ein shayeros mitzuyos lovos shama misham. He's telling us over here is there are three takanas. Takana l'riya, v'al yihi motzu eitzel nashim, v'yarchik helichasai mehen. First solution is avoidance. Don't be in proximity to the object of your desire. The ikar is to be embarrassed. Okay, I don't know the exact translation. I don't want to dwell upon this for now. But basically is, the solution, first thing, is avoidance. Okay, I have no doubt in my mind that in the world of psychology, there are techniques where if a person is addicted, there's no question they're addicted. So the way you deal with addiction is, you do it even more. Or, not you do it even more, you do it together with a mentor. Right? There's a mentor. Is this true, Dennis? Yeah, there's no such sorry to hear such thing like this? Total nonsense? Because someone actually, what? Avoidance, right? But isn't there such a principle? Is that it's out of control? So it's only out of control because you don't know how to deal with it. So let's walk through the steps. I once heard this. What? That's fear. That's fear. But not for addiction. There's no such thing as a person who's an alcoholic and saying, "Listen, you're an alcoholic. So let's take one drink together and we'll stop." No such thing. Okay, I take it back then. Okay? I take it back then. I once heard something, I don't want to tell you exactly what I heard. There's something bad about, something very ugly, alcohol was another type of issue. All right, I guess what I'm saying is not true, so I take it back. I made a mistake. But in any event, over here he says, the other person has the chasarim. The first thing is, don't go in the location where the Nisayan is. It's very, very simple. These are things that you don't need books to tell you.
I looked up the Pasuk in the Arbanel and Hosea. He said that he burns, you know, during the day when you're awake, fire burns like the oven of a baker. It's working all day. At night when you go to sleep, that's why it's burning.
It percolates.
It cools off all night long. When you get up in the morning and the fire begins anew. Every day, just like the oven, the baker turns on the oven in the morning, the person when he gets up and he starts to experience the day, the fire starts to burn in him again, the Yitzhahara.
Okay. All right, so over here, okay, we have Kuf Ayin Gimel, the second line. The second line, Takana L'Ri'iyah Al Yehi Motsu Yitzel Mashim V'yarchik Harli Chasim V'yem. A person has his nichshon with a certain woman, stay away from her. V'yatzaducha Miloyisan K'shein Eslai. A person should not look at the object which is causing him trouble. Ki Iker Meniach Mibnei Habusha L'Hiskodev Alehem. The Iker Meniach, I don't know what he means by that, Mibnei Habusha L'Hiskodev Alehem. The best thing is to be embarrassed to go near them. I don't know what those words mean, and let's just go further. This, he said this once before. This, you have this example of Mamash say all the time. You have to hear stories that if the goyim would tell you, you're not allowed to do a certain, you have to do something. A goy would say to a Jew, I demand of you to watch this movie. Okay? A nice, clean movie. I can just see this so clear. The goyim say that in every yeshiva, they have to show this movie to teach them something. And who is the presenter on this movie? A woman who's not dressed sneistic. Okay, l'chol hades. Let's say l'chol hades. There's a woman who's not dressed properly according to all opinions. And the goyim say, every student in the yeshiva high school has to watch this movie by law. And we're sending inspectors down to the yeshiva to make sure that the students, they learn this very important lesson about life. Whatever it is, you have to be, whatever it is, and everyone must see this movie, and just the mazel is that the goyim happened to choose the person who's going to be on this movie, and this presentation, is a woman who is totally not dressed, sneers, l'chol hades. So what would happen? I have no doubt in my mind. All the rabbanim would get up, and all the rashis would get up, and would say, it's ma'am, gezeres hashmad, the world's coming to an end, yehurg val yavar, everyone has to die al kiddush Hashem, not chas v'shalom to contaminate your pure soul by seeing such an image. Hilk and Shama is going to see this image of a woman who is not properly dressed. Is that what happened? It'll be in the newspapers. There will be a whole rally. Everyone will go down to, and who knows what happened? So what happened? The goyim didn't make exam. The goyim didn't tell you have to do it. No one said you have to do it. Don't do it. Yet, most of us have no problem going home after hours and watching movies and seeing things on television, which is exactly like that. So voluntarily, we would do it. As long as no one is, we would do it. I'm not in that madrega. I'm not a tzaddik. I'm not a holy madrega. So I went and I saw something. I went and I watched a movie. I watched a television show. I like this show. I like that show. I like this, that. Who cares? But yet, if there would be a law that the goyim say the Jews have to go and watch exactly the exact same thing, you can guarantee the reaction would be, you're not going to do this. And you're telling me to do this. It's a shmad. And we have to rally and go meshuga. So there's a contradiction. It's mamish, a tarde de sasre. Who are you? I know I'm saying it's not so far-fetched because go take a look. I always tell you, look at wedding movies. You go to a wedding, they build today a wall, okay, a bigger wall than Trump would build in between the men and the women. Chas v'shalom to see the hair of a woman on the wrong side of the mechitza, you're horeg val yava. And then what happens? The wedding is over, and a month later, the videographer presents you with the video. And what do all the men do? Okay, all the men, what men do is they watch the movie from beginning to end, and they watch the women dancing. And they watch every single detail of the women dancing. So what's the difference? Why, by the wedding, was he a horeg val yava? You're not allowed to go, you have to have a mechitz, you should be chas v'shalom to see a woman. And then when it comes to getting the video, The men that I know who would not go to a wedding, I know firsthand certain men. I saw my own eyes. They watched the video wedding and they watched the women dancing every little detail and wanted to know exactly who every single woman was. But if you would go to, if this wedding would have been mixed seating, I have no doubt in my mind, I can't go to a wedding of mixed seating. It's not correct. It's not halacha. Go to a wedding of mixed seating. So isn't that a contradiction? It's a contradiction. If you're invited to go to the wedding and mixed seating, no, I can't go. But when the wedding is over and you have the video, oh, I have no problem watching the women in every scene. And not just watching, you can watch with intensity.
What's the difference between being
there
and watching it on a movie?
You can argue that it's even worse. Because when you see a woman lie, there's a certain embarrassment. You're not going to go look at her dress. You're not going to go stare at her. You're not going to go look there. When you're watching a video, no one's holding you back. There's no embarrassment. No one's holding you back from looking at every single detail. That's how I see it by myself.
They go,
I know.
They're mixed seating because they believe it, or they go because they don't want anyone to know that they went.
What?
They don't want to go to a wedding that's mixed seating.
Whatever it is. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. It's in public, we behave one way. In private, we have a whole different Shulchan Aruch. Is it not a contradiction? And what's the proof? The proof is that if someone would tell Klal Yisrael, let's say in wedding videos, you have to watch the wedding video. A guy would say to a Jew, if you don't watch the wedding video, I'm going to kill you. So the people would say, you're not allowed to. Shmat, to go watch Yehorek Val Yavar. But when no one's putting a gun to your head and you're doing it on your own, I'll do whatever I want. There is, when it's glamorous to die al Kiddush Hashem, the glamour you will be willing to go through. But when it's private, there's no glamour. It's just Beinoy, Bein Atzma, and Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a whole different Shulchan Aruch. Who is the one that says this? You know who says this? The Rambam says this. You know where the Rambam says this? In Moira Nevuchim. And you know where this appears? This is the very, very first halacha of Shulchan Aruch. Shivisi Hashem Leneg Ramah. Mechaber begins Yiskaber Kari Lavoidas Boiroi Ramah Ramah Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. And then he goes on to say the words that the way a person behaves when no one is watching is very different than the way the common man behaves in public. And that is an open contradiction to who you really are. And the Torah says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid, continuously, whether I am in public, whether I am private, there should be absolutely no difference. This is what the Rambam writes in Sefer Moire Nevuchim. And it's quoted in the very first Siman in Shulchan Aruch. As we said before, Tisha B'Av, in the year 1242, what happened? The Rambam, what happened really a lot before that? It happened a lot before that, but happened again. The Rambam, he wrote Mor Nevuchim. And the Rambam also wrote Sefer Hamada. And there were people that felt that the Rambam is not Bikoreis because it's not our way to talk in philosophical terms. So they were malshing the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim to the government. And the government, the Dominicans, they took the Mor Nevuchim and they burnt it. So the Jews burnt this that I just told you. The Haredim, the extremists who felt that the Rambam wasn't religious enough, saw to it that the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim should be destroyed, should be burnt publicly. And what was burned, what did they burn in essence? They burned what it says here. And the first word of Shulchan Aruch is that the way you behave privately is not the way you behave publicly. I mean, come on, the whole the hypocrisy is just baffling across the board. This whole horror. But that's what he says over here V'chol avera, one more time, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, chol avera shetev liyadai. If a person is presented with a nisayon, it's very, very hard. No one's watching. You're all alone. You're tired and you're worn out. And now there's an avera that's knocking on your door. Yachshoif, you should say to yourself, believe me, it's not going to help what he says now. It's either you're Yerushalayim or you're not. You're just thinking this is not going to help. You have to, it requires a whole lifetime of work. Imhoyu, what would happen now if the government put out a gezera, I must do this avera? How would I react? Human nature, when someone tells you to do something, you go on the defense. You're telling me to do it? I'll do what I want. I'm a religious Jew. Don't you tell me what to do. I'll glorify myself and I'll bow Kiddush Hashem over a shoelace, the color of my shoelace. Im hayu goyzrim olav shemad. If they were goyzer upon you shemad, meaning do this. Here, the aver is knocking on your door. Do it. If you don't do it, we're going to kill you. Hayu nera al Kiddush Hashem. You would die for this. A guy comes in, a guy says, go do this, or you die. So you should say to yourself, if a guy would tell me to do this, I would die not to do it. So now that the guy is not telling me to do it, don't you think I should be honest with myself and I should not do the avera? I should not look for excuses? Okay, it's easy to say, it's hard to do, right? V'yoyma ze hadavar kosha yoyser. This matter is kosha, is difficult, very difficult. There are certain things that I could not possibly do because let's say the guy would tell me to do it. You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe in that instance, if the guy would force me, tell me it's your life or do the avera. You know what? Maybe I would do the avera. Because the guy, it's too hard. It's too hard for me to be willing to die not to an avera. Correct. But in this case, it's easy for you because no one's telling you to die. No one's telling you here to die. No one's bothering you. The kol shekein zehakal sheloi echeta. It's so easy because no one's telling you to die. This really, in essence, is the nisayon of America. Okay, we read back in the olden days. The goyim were trying to kill us. The goyim, the anti-Semitism, the persecution, the pogroms, the blood libels, expulsions. You're a Jew? You're a Jew, you're a dog. We're going to kill you. So because we were always under attack, that creates a natural defense mechanism. That's right. We are a Jew. We have pride in being a Jew. And Jews don't do this. In America, no one's looking at you. No one could care less who you are. What's a Jew? Okay, we talk about anti-Semitism. It's a different type of anti-Semitism. But many Jews don't deal with that type of anti-Semitism as knowing where we come from. Most of the time, couldn't care less who you are. Who are you? You look funny. You dress in funny clothing and you're rich and you're successful. We're jealous of you. No one's coming to attack us because, I mean, more or less, you don't hear often people coming to attack you because you're a Jew. And yet, so why then are we doing these averas? That's the Nisayon. This what he writes over here, really, the MS is the Nisayon of our generation. Valhira Isha Be'esha Hu Bo Lahar Alisha Batfila. What happens? Over here, he's thinking of you. So a person is davening, in the middle of davening, all of a sudden, in the middle of davening, he's up to Shema Koileinu. And now, who comes into his mind? The image of the woman he saw last night on his favorite television program. Okay? Doesn't happen to you. Happens to me. Okay? I haven't watched television in a long time, Baruch Hashem, but doesn't happen? Sure it happens. In the middle of davening, okay, I used to wait eagerly to see the next episode of my favorite series. Okay, and it lingers in your mind. And when does it pop up in your mind? In the holiest moments of the day. If you're able to differentiate, okay, listen, I can control myself, this time is entertainment, and this time is davening and learning. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad, but the reality is it doesn't go like that. The reality is it spills over. There's no way you can really separate. So if you're doing things that are mamish osur, you got problems. It's a very big problem. So Kol Shekain over here, he writes over here, which this obviously is not for us in our day and age, but he writes over here, if a person is in the middle of davening, a person in the middle of davening, all of a sudden he has the image, yinoitz gudlei etzbois ragla baretz. I don't know if it's going to help you this, stick your toes into the ground, don't lean on the wall, and that v'zeh hadavar mevatel mimenu kol minei hir hurim. Rabbi, do not try this at home. V'yim yosha v'eini yochalam mibnei adam. Let's say you're sitting when this happens to you, and you can't stand up for whatever reason. Yinaitz gudolah b'chosek b'aretz. Stick your fingers into the ground. Whatever this means. V'al yeitz are given. It was. Taiva, okay.
That's, by the way, it's on this week's parsha, what the Torah says, on the chol nav, the chol, the chol vafo, the chol nav, shechol, shnei yitzirecho. So you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Gemara said, v'yetzah tov, v'yetzah ra. So it says you're supposed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you a yetzah ra. Since we're giving you a yetzah ra, you can't survive without a yetzah ra.
Right.
Of course, you wouldn't have the desire to make money, you wouldn't have the desire to procreate. But you have to learn to control it.
Absolutely.
To channel it
properly. V'al Yetzer Gimel. Okay, now he's going back to the three different levels of Yetzer. V'al Yetzer Gimel. Avas liba yoyev lisha yoyev yeyne choyshet b'yishu acheres. A person is obsessed. He's mamish obsessed. It's a sickness. V'loi b'yavas banim b'bonais. B'avur avas yisha hazois. Let's say a person is just lost. He cannot control himself. What is takanasi solutions? Lotzeis min amedina hahi. Wow. Go live in another country. Get a visa to go to another country, because since the tithe is so great, the loss is so great, he's going to be nichshol. Yisbalel Oleh, he'll find another country, another woman, he'll find someone else there. He writes over here a principle that davening helps. Oh, you'll ask a question, Akol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. So Chazal tell us that part of shtadlus is to daven that Hashem should help you conquer your yetzahara. He's saying an incredible svar that you're not going to see it somewhere else. There's always malichidish. He makes a kal v'choyne. Madoch, Chazal gave us a rule that if you have tsar in this world, daven to Hashem. A person needs a refuah shalema. So we have Chazal gave us brachos and different tefillos to be mispalel in order that we should have physical pain should go away. If a person does an avera, he will be in pain forever. Nitzchis. What that means, I don't know, but that's what it says. Olam haba is a world of olam hanitzri. So al achas kama v'kama, a person should pray that he should not suffer eternally because of his averus. It's a simple, logical approach to prove that it is proper for a person to be mispalel to Hashem to save him from the yetzahara. And don't focus on what it says in Chazal, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. It's not in heaven's hands. You take that Maimon Chazal at face value, it means don't dive into Hashem for success in overcoming your Yetzirah. Because Hakol bidei shamayim, everything in this world already is predetermined. Chutz miyira shamayim. Your choices in doing mitzvot or averos, that's not up to heaven. That's your choice. Don't go look to heaven for assistance. So the Sefer Chasidim says that's not the pshat on that Maimon Chazal. What is the pshat? I don't know. He's not telling us. But one thing is for sure. There's a very simple, logical svara that it is proper for a person to daven to Hashem for assistance in overcoming the Yetzirah. If a person knows he has a problem with the Yetzirah, whatever Yetzirah it may be, then daven. It works. Daven to Hashem for assistance. And I've read this in different svara more than one time, is that we all know that when we daven, we are very frustrated because sometimes we daven very seriously. We come to shul and something bothers us. We have a need for something, and we daven with a lot of kavana. We do everything we're supposed to do, and unfortunately, we find that our tefillos do not always go answered, at least the way we expect them to be answered. So we're frustrated. So we give up. We don't try. Whatever we do. So this is written down by many svarim, and it's said over by many people living in this generation. They say it's true. It's a very big problem. But guess what? Try something different. If a person is mispalel for spiritual matters, he will be sincerely shocked to see in front of his eyes how easy Hashem answers a person regarding a sincere request for something that's purely spiritual. For example, a person, he wants more time to learn. Or let's say he doesn't understand what he's learning. He wants success, siyata shmaya, in being able to understand the Daf Gemara better. Or maybe it means even having more time to learn. Or a person wants siyata shmaya, being able to daven better. Daven shmona esh, you daven, I just can't concentrate. So the few seconds of the davening when you are concentrating, if you were to daven Hashem, please give me, I ask you, help me concentrate when I daven. So we don't even do it. We don't even try to make such a request because we've given up. Why have we given up? Because when it comes to matters of physical matters, we've been so frustrated. We see that, you know, we dive, and everything is just, you know, it is what it is. Do your shtadlos, it is what it is. And we don't feel that Hashem answers our tefillos, or at least we don't feel it. Hashem answers in ways that we don't see in an obvious way. So we automatically translate that approach to spiritual matters. And it's so not true. When it comes to a matter that is dvar ruchni, it is cited in many different svarim from the Bali Musar, and it's people will testify in front of you, people living today, that it's just not real. When you pray to Hashem for a spiritual matter, Hashem really answers you. He answers you very quickly. And if you don't believe it, try it. Try it once and see if it works or not. This is Ribbono Shel Olam. He listens to your prayers. When it comes to the Dvarim Gashmiim, you need a lot of emunah. Granted, no one's going to come and tell you today that you dive into Hashem, instantly all your problems are going to be solved. No one's going to come and tell you that today. But if you dive into Hashem regarding success in spiritual matters, you may be shocked to see that it really works. Tefillah really produces results very quickly. And if you don't believe it, try it. And if it doesn't work, come back and we'll figure it out. We'll talk about it. Let's finish up this paragraph. Next paragraph. A person is successful. Today I had a nisayon. And guess what? I didn't do the avera. I scored big. Don't brag about it. Al yachzik tayva li atzmai loymar kama ani tzadik shamadi badavar zeh. Don't go take credit for yourself. Ella yivarech l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu shlichata shebiyadai halavavos shenemar. You know why you did not sin? Guess what? Hashem is the one that saved you from yourself. Pal gei mayim lev melech biyad Hashem. Just like the water, the divisions of water, so too are is the lev of the melech biyad Hashem. Al kol asher yachpots yatenu, Hashem will direct you in the path that Hashem wants. The nemar, it says vo ech soch kam anochi oscha mechatoli. What better proof can you have to this principle that when a person is successful and does not do an avera, don't take credit for yourself. It's more likely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was controlling your mind. Paro did not touch Sarah. And Hashem said to Paro, Paro, you think you did not touch Sarah because you're a tzaddik? You're no tzaddikal. The reason why you did not touch Sarah was because I controlled your mind. I was protecting Sarah. The same way Hashem made it clear in day to Paro that he was not in control when he did not do an avera, when a person is successful in not doing an avera, it's not you. It's Hashem who, for whatever reason, saw to it to intervene and to save you from yourself. Shleisha, now we're out of time. I want to spend some more time on I was, we'll stop over here, even though it's in the middle of the paragraph, because I want to spend some more time today on the Inyan of Tu B'Av. So we'll now take a very short break, and we'll spend the remaining time discussing the significance of tomorrow. Tonight is Tu B'Av. Lo hayu yamim tovim lishol kechamish asa B'Av. Okay, we'll talk about that in a few moments.